Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Bee Lab. I apologize for being away for so long. It wasn't that long, but some of you were actually commenting and texting me and saying, where'd you go? I have to admit, I have a full-time job, and I'm an airline pilot, and sometimes our schedules take us away, and we don't get to come back home, which is actually one of the trickiest parts of me being a beekeeper, is I have to use timing with my schedule around chores that I have to do and make sure that when my schedule is bid or I get my schedule, I don't put grafts in at the wrong time so that they need to go into the incubator while I'm working and things like that. But in any case, I've been away for a couple of weeks, and I haven't done anything in the bees because I haven't been home. I've been watching them through my remote data, so my scales, and I got home a couple days ago and I went out and did a quick assessment and pretty much everything is okay. I want to talk about a couple things in the bee lab before we get in the bee yard. I'm just going to give you a heads up. This could be a long video only because I want to catch you up on everything. And there's a lot of little tidbits, especially for those of you in zone 9B or anyone that kind of wants to know towards the end of the flow. And that's where we are here in Jacksonville. We're at the end of the flow. Sorry, I got my smoker going right in front of you because I'm ready to get to work. In Jacksonville, or in zone 9B, in our climate, our flow, where the weight put in the hive starts to exceed their consumption rate, and that is what I define as the honey flow. The nectar may be flowing, but as it starts to creep in, if the bees are consuming it at the same rate they're bringing it in, I don't call that the flow, but that technically may be the flow when the flowers are putting out nectar. But when they start accumulating weight faster than they're consuming it, that is kind of where we're collecting honey, right? Obviously, there's a lot of other things going on when you have nectar flow that they can, you know, build brood and stuff like that. But consuming weight, needing to put on supers, that's what I'm talking about. And using my hive scales, and I'm just going to do another plug for these hive scales. I'm not sponsored by them or anything like that, but I really advocate for the data because of the insights it gives you. And I'm going to share the insights I get with you so you don't need to buy them. But if you want to buy them, I'm telling you, this is what you get out of it. If you remember, our flow starts at the end of March and it starts going up and normally tapers off at the beginning of June, which is next week. So we're still kind of in it. But we had a weird little dry spell, kind of the entire month of April, almost. And, you know, quantitatively, I was like, gosh, it's been dry. I wonder how the honey flow is going. And in the middle of it, you can't really necessarily see it, but I did see a taper off in the weight of the hives. It didn't go down, but it tapered off. And then at the beginning of May, boom, here came the rain again. And we're getting rain just about every week, almost every other day. And the honey flow started going back up. I started accumulating more weight. So I'm going to put the picture right here, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit more. But take a look at this picture I'm putting here. The top is the total weight of the hive. And you might see that it's going up and down a little bit because that's like me putting supers on, me moving supers off, and things like that. But if you notice that it's the total weight of the hive. Probably the most insightful graph is the one in the middle. This is the rate of change from a starting point. So I did a 90-day graph, and if you looked at the left, it's kind of the beginning of March all the way to now. So basically, if 0 pounds is the beginning of March, this is how the weight is changing. So a light hive and a heavy hive, meaning like my Demaray and a single deep, can actually grow on this chart at the same rate because it's the weight change from a common starting point. But look at how they started creeping up at the beginning of the flow, and then there's that drought. Well, how do you know the drought? Well, look, I put my weather station data on the bottom, and look at that, you know, dry spell we had. And then at the beginning of May, boom, here comes the rain again. But as soon as that rain started, and this is not rain every day, all day, like Seattle style, that keeps the bees from flying. This is just ground moisture coming in, maybe in the evenings, maybe in the afternoons, but with adequate flying time. But when that happens, the nectar starts coming out of the flowers again. It's just kind of like a, you know, if you're really dehydrated as a human, at some point you stop sweating. It's kind of like that. If there's not liquid coming in, a plant in biology is just not going to push out a ton of nectar. It's going to conserve it. It needs the water. It's not going to turn it into nectar, even though that nectar is part of its reproductive cycle for, you know, continuing to exist. It has to also preserve itself for the drought. So when beekeepers talk about the rain and how it affects the nectar flow, this is the best graph I've ever had in 15 years to talk about it and show a drought where in the middle of the flow, the accumulation of weight stopped, but as soon as the rain came again, while the flow was still on, it immediately came back up and bees started putting on weight. you know, nothing changed with my hive sizes. Nothing changed. The inflection point of collecting that honey was not correlated to the bee population. It was directly correlated to the pollen, the nectar availability due to the rain coming back. And also the forage days were available, right? So this wasn't all day rain that just kept them from going out. So fascinating thing, and if you're here in zone 9B or in this vicinity that had that drought, maybe your hives are behaving just like mine, and you can maybe understand a little bit about how moisture in the ground generates the nectar that can be brought back. Now pollen is a little bit of a different story. I don't have anything to correlate with that. Pollen theoretically should still be able to be created, but pollen without nectar doesn't necessarily make brood. That's where supplemental feeding comes in. And supplemental feeding is a little tricky on production hives where you're collecting honey because you don't want sugar water in your honey. But you can do all the supplemental feeding you want on your nucleus boxes or your resource hives, of course. And during that drought, that would have been something to do. If you had a nucleus colony that you weren't feeding during this drought, you'd probably notice them petering out or not creating as much wax because they just didn't have the resources to do it themselves. Okay, enough on that. Great story there. I'm glad to share that with you. Now let's shift gears a little bit. So my Missouri Mite Hunters that I got from Corey Stevens, another shout out for him. I'm really excited to try out his bees. I got 5 queens that were delivered. I had 5 nukes that were what I thought was hopelessly queenless in order to get these 5 queens mated. I had these virgins introduced, and when I came back from 2 weeks, I was all excited to have all these eggs and everything. And I went to the first hive and no queen, no eggs. I went to the second hive, no queen, no evidence of eggs. Went to the third hive, I found queen cells. I'm like, uh-oh, maybe that one wasn't as hopelessly queenless as I thought. I went to the fourth hive, and I found a queen. So thank goodness, I got 1 queen out of 5, and the other one, I lost one at the very beginning. They balled her immediately, and it didn't work out. So Chuck lost one of them due to poor beekeeping, letting the bees get to her before she was ready. The other 4, I only got 25% success rate of what could have possibly mated. So maybe my nucleus colonies weren't ready for virgins. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not gonna speculate, but either way, I got 1, so I do have some eggs, and immediately I took some of those eggs and I got them in the graft box. So I do have some progeny off of that mated virgin. Now, my virgin is now open mated. She's a mated queen, but she does not have mite-resistant genetics that she mated with. So she is 50%, you could say, hygienic coming from Corey's stock, and then 50% natural. So I don't know how these, she could be a breeder queen yet. What I will need to do is I'll need to wait the full 7 weeks till she starts creating her own brood and her own population is in the hive. So I can't do it right now because she doesn't have her population in the hive. And once they have capped brood, in about 7 weeks, I can start to do what's called the Harbo assay. And the Harbo assay is the way Corey and others can check and measure and quantify the mite resistance of a bee queen, right? Not the progeny, so it's the queen that's laying the eggs, and the combination of the fertilization from the sperm, from the spermatheca, from the open mated drone she did, and her genetics she brought in. Those eggs that get laid will create a force, and the prevalence of mite resistance in that force is what the Harbo assay will measure. So you get to look forward to that in a few months, hopefully, if I can keep her alive as the only survivor. And then we'll start to do some Harbo assay videos and talking about measuring this mite resistance with this queen. Because I have some of her eggs in a mating nuc now, we might get a peek at that during this video if you stick with me long enough. I will have her daughters that could become a second generation from her that might bring some of that down. But I'm now starting to dilute that population a little bit, right? So, but these are more queens that I can introduce to my population, and I can do the Harbo assays off of them, and then I can start to find the queens that are progeny that are bringing in the genetic alleles that are, you know, passing down that mite resistance as measured through the Harbo assay. If you don't know about the Harbo assay, you just gotta Google it. Harbo is spelled H-A-R-B-O, I believe. If I misspelled that, I apologize, Dr. Harbo. But it is a way of essentially pulling brood out, looking for reproductive and non-reproductive mites. It's the reproductive mites that are the problem because one mite turns into 10 and then they exponentially grow. A non-reproductive mite can be found in a cell but isn't as big of a concern because the reproduction rate does not increase. So the existence of mites isn't the problem as much as the existence of reproductive mites, which is what the resistance feature is designed to measure. Okay, so that's where we are on the Missouri Mite Hunters in my population, and I got one left, and we're going to try to keep it growing. So other things I want to show you, before we get out into the bee yard, I want to take you in to the observation hive. So my observation hive is still booming. It did swarm successfully. They have requeened, so I've got an unmarked mated queen in this hive, but they have boomed so much. What you can see in this six frame observation hive, what I'm going to show you is what it looks like to be honey bound. And honey bound means the workers are working so hard while they're not rearing young, right, while that virgin mated, that they just pack the hive with honey and the queen doesn't have room to lay. This is what creates a swarming impulse in our hive sometimes, where the queen just doesn't have room to lay. She can't create a workforce and then they swarm again, or they even abscond in some situations. So let me take you inside real quick and we'll just do this with a handheld. Okay, hopefully I cut that out and you didn't see me necessarily walking in. But this is one side of my observation hive. There's two frames in each side, and this is a pivoting window style. Many of you have asked me to show you how to do this, and the entrance is down here, and they go outside in the entrance, and they are just bearding on the outside. Solid white capped honey. Solid capped honey with darker wax. Honey, a little bit of open in here, but if you look really, really closely, there's nectar in there too. And on this side, if you see in here, you can even see the glistening nectar. I don't know if the queen is in here, maybe you guys can see her, but they are packed with bees, and this is post-swarm. I don't manage this hive, meaning like I'm not gonna thin it, I don't split it, I let it be and I let it do what it's gonna do so that I can observe basically how the bees are gonna handle this. Obviously they're in a constrained space, so this would be like a bee colony choosing a cavity that was too small. What are they gonna do? Are they gonna move out? Are they gonna wait? Or is the timing right? Is this enough honey to get them through the drought here that's gonna start, the dearth that's gonna start here in the next couple of weeks? They may be just fine. I don't think they're gonna swarm again. If they do, it might be to the detriment of the hive. And don't forget, there also is a middle layer between these two frames that there could be brood in there and how they're managing it. But this is what the observation hive looks like at the moment. Honey bound. And that's basically happening in our hives. And this is what the bees do when they have a strong force during a nectar flow without brood production, right? So there wasn't a queen running around looking for places to lay. All right, let's go back outside. Okay, you're still with me? Thanks for sticking with me. All right, so my mini mating nukes. I wanted to show you, after 2 weeks going away, a lot of you ask, hey, are those mini mating nukes really worth it? And my answer is always, it depends on your needs and how much time you have to manage them. If you're out in them every single week, maybe even every few days, it can really work for you. But if you leave for 2 weeks, this is what happens. Every single one of these boxes in this pile right here has absconded. Now, that doesn't mean they died. There were queens in some of these boxes. If you do see a bee coming or going, they're basically just robbing if there's anything in there or they smell something. I have three queens over here. And I have 1, 2, 3, and then that is my medical cooler. That it is queenless, I believe, right now, but it does have bees in it. Everything not in the stack at least has bees in it. They may be hopelessly queenless. A couple of them have unmarked virgins I need to mark. But anyway, so this is what happens to mini mating nukes if you're not managing them, if you're not keeping them fed, if you're not giving them a queen. And some of you have said, I think you have too many there, and you may be right. Some of my queens that went out and mated may not have made it back to the right box. That is a construct of my space, and maybe I need to come up with another plan next year. But in any case, so these mini mating nukes can work. I still do have some queens in here, but the bulk of them, while I was gone for 2 weeks, died or absconded. Now, when you come out to your hives, and when I decide what I'm going to do today, this is a clue. When you go and you look at hives, and they're bearding, some of them bearding more than others, you can generally use this as a rule of the space you have in the hive, right? So we just looked at my observation hive, and the observation hive was just packed to the brim. So when you come out to the outside edge of the observation hive, and when you just see them bearding on the outside, like they are right here, that's the same thing that's going on in those other hives. They're packed to the brims. So that just means more than likely they've run out of room. They may be honey bound, but when you look at these other smaller hives, some of these were my mating nukes with my Missouri Mite Hunters that are now queenless. These are gonna die if I don't combine them. you know, a couple other things going on. You see these? Here's my double queen hive. They are actually making honey in the top of that today. So this has actually started succeeding. I see something in the entrance in there. Oh, look at that. There's my a vial. God, that's been in there a while, but they're just starting to get to push it out. Here's the double demurray, just booming. I don't have a scale on that one, so I don't know how much that one weighs. These are my production hives that have scales, some of them, not all of them, and we're gonna get into this. And I believe my queens are in hive number 3 over there, so 1, 2, 3 from the right is where my grafts are. So that's all we got from the bee lab. You guys gonna stick around for me to get into the hives? This video may be getting too long. But I'm gonna keep going, maybe I'll cut it down. I can't make it longer than an hour. Nobody watches a video longer than 20 minutes anyway. All right, stick with me and we'll get into the bees and take a look. Okay, I just realized the camera had cut off and I don't know when it cut off. I apologize. I am a single man operation out here. Just trying to see if any of these are not finished yet. Yep, so this one can stay. Well, maybe this whole bottom one is not ready. These are all kind of 50-50. All right, so these aren't ready. So I'm gonna leave this whole thing on. I'm not ready to take that off yet. Flow's not over. And that's how we do it. How long do you think till that fume board will work? Are they out of there yet? Getting there. Let's see. Maybe you can look with me. Wow. That's pretty damn empty. All right, I'm gonna call that success. Stinky board, board complete. You guys probably don't want to watch me do all this, so I'm gonna have to just think about what I need to show you and wrap it up. Showed you the queens, showed you one stinky board. I'm gonna do this in a lot more of these hives. You wanna go look at that monster demurray? And then let's do that. Let's look at the monster demurray. I gotta get all the way up top of that sucker. Oh man, how am I gonna do that? You know what, before we do that, let's save that for the end. Let's do this double queen hive that you guys have been asking about. It kind of went through a slow transition, meaning like I think it needed to grow before it could store, and it was growing during that dearth, so it didn't really boom. I think you guys can see me. Two queen right colonies on top of, and here's them storing the honey. This is not done yet. I did check on this yesterday, but I'll give you a little glance. But they're definitely storing honey now. Two hives working together on one super, late in the flow. This is what I wanted. Wanted it earlier. How did I do this? I put it on top of, I went to the plastic excluder at some of your recommendations. Somebody mentioned that to me. And I said, that's a good idea because this plastic goes down on the center frame tighter than the wooden, than the metal bound did. Here we are, just a quick check. Where would you check? This is probably gonna be honey bound. I might end up combining these, taking this honey and making them just during the dearth. I'm not gonna take the honey now, but I think they spent so much time not raising brood. Oh, there's some brood. Yeah. Beautiful. Kind of bound within the pollen, you know. I think mama's marked in here. I don't know the productivity. This is just one of my blue queens from my own stock. Beautiful pattern. Drone brood on the bottom. Not interested in swarming at all. No queen cells. Lots of pollen though. Strong hive. I said lots of queen cells. I mean, there could be. I just hadn't seen any yet. See, this is honey bound though, right? They can't go up, but they are going up on my super. I don't really need to go this deep. I've seen everything I need to see. She's laying good. Beautiful pattern. Drone brood on the bottom, no queen cell. So let's call her good. Put that one frame back in here. I don't know what I'm gonna do with this after the flow. My experiment on two queen hives, my lessons learned were I needed to start it sooner. This needed to be one of my initial swarm prevention techniques, not when I did a demarray. So next time if I do a demarray, which I will, this is gonna be one of the techniques. Now these are fat frames in here. I don't even know which one to take out to not break anything. Let me take out the end one. They're still kind of leaving room for eggs, even though that's nectar and pollen. That is room for mama. Let's keep going. Just take a look at a few of these so you guys can see this. This was a request of a viewer. If you were here and commenting on my videos and said, hey, keep telling me about that hive. I'm doing it because you asked, okay? I probably wouldn't have poked in this hive had that comment not come in. And here's where the brood pattern starts. Now, I don't know what happened here, but see that? That's a hatched queen cell. Or chewed out from the side anyway. There could be a replaced queen in here. Obviously there could be in the other one too. I didn't see anything, but that was the first evidence I had of any sort of supersedure. This is all nectar. I'm gonna put this on the further out because that needs to be away from the brood nest that she's got in there. That was probably a foundation frame that I added that they've completely drawn out and she just didn't lay in it by the time they started putting honey in it. Pollen. I'm not seeing eggs and brood in here like a mated queen's working. So I think it was a supersedure. Don't know when, so I don't know the age. Haven't seen eggs yet, so I'm gonna go through this till I see eggs or brood or queen. All nectar, no brood nest. So, if this is queenless, wait, hold on. A little bit of brood, some more evidence of chewed out cells. So I think there was a supersedure, so she could be mating still. In fact, I don't see any eggs, or they haven't cleaned any. This is hatching brood. Oh, look at this. This was probably mama right here. My nose is running inside here. See this? Perfectly hatched cell. You guys see me? I'm sorry. Perfectly hatched cell right there, not chewed out. And that is not broken down yet. So to me, she may not be mated. Normally after a few days after hatch, they start breaking those down, but that still got its little cocoon edge on it. Okay, so I'm gonna leave this one alone now that I saw that cell, because I don't need to go any further. I know where we're at. They're happy, meaning like they're queen right, but they got a new queen. The first clue was chewed out cells. The last clue was I found a perfectly hatched cell And then that hatch cell had not been broken down yet. And because it hadn't been broken down yet, I'm kind of measuring the number of days, saying that she probably hatched a few days ago, not weeks ago, meaning like she shouldn't be laying yet. And now I don't want to disrupt her anymore. I know the status. Was that, wow, I didn't even think we were going to talk about stuff like that in this hive. I thought, anyway, that's where we're at though. It's fascinating, isn't it? Beekeeping. You just got to get in your hives, guys and girls. All right. Keep those bees busy with some honey stores. The last week we got, that's probably why these bees over here are doing okay, is because they've had something to do. That's done. All right. You guys still with me? Who's with me? Let me know if you're still with me, because you're getting ready to watch Chuck's workout for the day. Ha! That thing! Oh my God! I probably need to take some honey off of this. I gotta get the camera in the right spot so I can entertain you. All right, so that's there. This is over here. I need like a cinder block to stand on. Yeah, I can't safely get up there. I'm gonna have to figure this out. What do you guys do in situations like this? Don't let them get this big in the first place? Maybe? Just kind of let you see. That's what's going on here. Just kind of, I've got these screens inverted. What could I stand on that's sturdy? Well, let me measure it first. Oh God, I can just feel this whole thing wiggling. Okay, I think I can do it. Let me get an angle here. Okay, so it was heavy. But I don't think it was as heavy as that other one that I had the grafts in. Let's see why. Let's see where we're at. There's the middle frame. So it's a honey super. I don't see any completely capped ones. See, still drawing this one out. This was one of my draw out frame. Yeah, see, I just didn't draw this one out. That's why it's lighter. Swarm trap frame for next year. Frames like that. Or maybe that'll go in top of a double deep. Hey, doing good. Okay, so we know where we're at here. Maybe I can pull some of these supers off. Uh-oh, my glove broke. Should I fix it? You guys have been entertained with the mites getting at me on this hive before, so I'm just gonna put a glove on. These are deterrent gloves, not sting-proof gloves. All right, I'm hoping one or all of these are done so I can... Ah, I did it again, Mom. Sorry. Finished. Gosh, that feels like it. I need to make sure you can see me over there. Yeah, you can see me. That works. Maybe I could put the stinky board on here. Completely capped. This one is finished. Even on the ends. All right, let me go get that stinky. How long does that stinky stuff last? Anybody know? If I can smell it, can they smell it? I don't know. Do you give squirts every time, or am I overdoing it? I don't know. I need some experience on this. If you guys got it, give it to me. All right, now we're waist height. Let's see what we got here. Ooh, that meets our criteria. Well, let's see the edges. All right, that's not complete. Well, that's not, but that is. So I got two more on here though, so maybe I can equalize. Do I do two stinky boards or just one? What do you guys think? Nobody's watching anymore anyway. Nobody's watching. Let me get a sense of this one. I'm all by myself in the VR. All right, so we're still working down here. So this, if I got a complete frame, this would be a good equalize. Not quite. Some pollen in there. Going through the excluder with pollen. Also, it could be a clue of, you better check you don't have brood. Pollen, a little bit, not much. Kind of gives a clue what's going on down below, though. This is not complete. Is the end one done? Finished? No, it's not. So I don't have any complete frames to equalize with. See what the last one looks like. There's more bees in here, but it looks more complete. Ooh, went through the other glove. I'm almost finished. Oh, look at that. In that cup. But we're down one super above the excluder. This is kind of what makes it queenless, is this frame right here. It's almost like they're making room for her to lay. See that? Open. But there's no eggs, so it's like, we need to look down below. This is fine for this time of year, but this is the state of a demurray. When down below, they're probably overcrowded and they're trying to make room for mama to lay. They're right above the brood nest trying to make room, but they've moved honey out so she can lay, but she just can't get up there, thank goodness. Even to the point of having a queen cup. See those nice little domes? So this one is ready to come off. So I can put a stinky on this one. So if I pull this one off, gosh, it's stuck. We're down to the excluder now. Okay. And there. Yeah, see it okay? I just give you a lean. So, I mean, it's not like booming, but, I mean, it is booming. But it's not like swelling. And, you know, there was no swelling on the outside of the hive, but they're trying to give her more room. More than likely, this is all laid up. Well, should I show you? This video is never going to end. Obviously, I'd like to see a frame of brood in here. Interesting. Eggs. Jelly. Perfectly laid up, open frame, hatched out. So she's still laying. So I'm not going to go at this anymore because I don't want to disrupt this hive because I know their state. It's a monster. And I've got a glove where the finger is already open. They're not getting me. But that one is finished. This one needs more work. I think that other one needed a little bit more work. But what I want to do now is double stinky. And the reason I say double stinky is because when you use these fume boards, it's pretty obvious to me, even though I've never done this before, I need a place for the bees to go. So right now, they're going in that deep. What I need you guys to teach me, A, did I use way too much on there? And B, can one fume board clear two boxes? Or do I need to do them one at a time? This is the one I'm clearing, in addition to that one. So I'm gonna leave that one like that for a few minutes. How's this one doing? Wow, lots of bees in the stinky. It's stinky, but it's, all right, so maybe it'll take longer. I'm trying to push them down into that deep. That's it, guys. Thank you for sticking with me if you're still here. You got to see a lot today. I talked at the beginning of the video about all the things that are going on with my hives, to share with you some lessons here in Zone 9B, and how the demurrays are doing, how the double queen hive is doing, how my Missouri mite hunter success rate was fairly low, but I got one, so I'm okay. I'll try again next year. I'll keep this one going. And we saw the graphs. Yeah, so the graphs are going okay. I'll probably do another round of graphs, though, so I got another set going. Maybe I'll put it up in this hive. Any case, thanks for watching. Thanks for sticking with me. Sorry it took a few weeks to get another video out, but for those of you that appreciate this content, I appreciate you. Leave a comment below. Have a great day, everybody.